Start your day, the Turaway, Northwest London. Monday, 29th of Shavat, 20th of February, Rabbi Yecheskel Zivinsky Shlita, testing employees' honesty. This week's Turaway is sponsored by family Friedlander, Lechvod Simcha Nosoim of Shua Friedlander and Yudit Erlanger. She described Yitzhak Shem, the Simantov, Model Tov, Yom Revi, on Wednesday, 1st of Adar Rosh Chodesh. He wrote soon, she's school of Noah's bias, Nemon Bisrael, the Shem Vilis Hilo.
The topic that I've decided to speak about is in the zchus of my cleaner, Jenny. We have a cleaner who comes a few hours a week, and I don't know, I think it happens in more houses than one, that whenever the kids lose anything, they always say, oh, she's taking it. And there's many stories about cleaners taking various items. But this challenge doesn't apply only to a cleaner, it applies to any employee. So you know, I told my kids, you know what, we're going to set her a test. So I took a £5 note, I left it in a corner as if it just fallen over there. I said, let's see if she takes it. Let's see. That was a good idea, but before I tell you what happened, sometime later I realised that there's a serious problem over here. There's an Issa in the Torah, Parshas Kedoshim, Lifnei Iver Lo Sitein Michshol. You can't put a stumbling block in front of a blind person, literally. Now, even though the pasuk itself sounds like it means literally a blind person walking along, you're putting a brick in front of him, but if you look in the Gemara, the Rambam, the Chinuch, they all discuss what exactly the Issa of Lifnei Iver Lo Sitein Michshol is. So the Rambam and the Chinuch, they say that there's two main parts to Lifnei Iver. One is to give an Eitzah She'eino Hegenes. If someone asks you advice and you give him bad advice, then that's a way of putting a stumbling block in front of a blind person. Yeah, he's not physically blind, but in his plans of what he wants to do, he doesn't realize something, and you give him bad advice, that's considered a Michshol in front of Iver, and that is one Issa of Lifnei Iver Lo Sitein Michshol. Another example of Lifnei Iver, which is more well known, is enabling someone to be over an Issa. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah Daf Vav says, "Minayin shel yoshit adam kois shel yain lenozir." If you have a nozir who wants a cup of wine and you pass him a cup of wine, or if there is a eva menachai leben noyach, if there's a goy who wants to eat some eva menachai, and eva menachai one of the seven mitzvot ben noyach, you must not pass him the eva menachai. That's lifnei iver lo sitein michshol. That's a second application of lifnei iver lo sitein michshol, because you're also putting a stumbling block in front of a blind person, because the Rambam explains that in Hilchos Retzeach that anyone who wants to do an Avera, he must be an Iver, his Taiva has clouded his judgment. So to some degree he's considered an Iver, and that's why enabling anyone to do an Avera is also considered putting a Michshol in front of an Iver. Interestingly enough, these two explanations, giving someone bad advice, Eitzah She'eino Hegenes, or causing someone to do an Avera, they don't seem to be the actual pshat in the pasuk. The pasuk itself, it sounds like, you're putting a stumbling block in front of a blind person. What would be the halacha if you would do that? There's a considerable amount of discussion in the poskim whether in this case you would be over the Issa Lifnei Iver, if you would actually do the simplest reading of the pasuk. The Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvot says that Pshuto Shel Mikra is Eitzah She'eino Hegenes. The simple pshat in the pasuk is giving bad advice. It would seem from the Rambam that to actually cause a blind person to fall or to trip someone up, you will not be over Lifnei Iver. Okay. But as we said, one of the applications of Lifnei Iver is causing someone to do an Avera, and it applies even to a goy. It applies even to a goy, as we said, you can't give Eva Menachai to Ben Noach. So therefore, to put money as a test for someone's honesty would seem to be a big problem. If they take it, they're over Gezel. A goy is also Mitzvah in Gezel. It's one of the Shemitzvot Ben Noach. So to put some money down to see if your cleaner is going to take it, the Chora is a big problem. And we'll go into it. I've discussed it with a few people, and I mean, it seems like it's not such an uncommon thing to do. The Shaila is discussed in the Sefer Torah Lishma. The Ben Ish Chai the Ben Ish Chai, Yosef Chaim in Baghdad, he was a prolific author. He wrote over 60 svarim, I think. One of the svarim that he brought out was called Torah Lishma. And this, he writes in the introduction, this wasn't written by him. It was some old Kitzvah Yad that he found from this unknown Rav called Rabbi Cheskel Kachli. No one knows who it is. And he brought out this sefer, Tshuva, called Torah Lishma. The Ben Ish Chai brought it out. But there's a Masorah from his grandchildren, and you can look in the Hakdama, Machon Avat Shalom has brought out a new Torah Lishma, this Tshuva Torah Lishma, with a long, long Hakdama from Rabbi Yaakov Hillel Shlita. And there they show that this sefer was actually written by the Ben Ish Chai himself. He signed each Tshuva, Yecheskel Kachli, and if you work out the gematria of Yecheskel, the same gematria as Yosef, and the gematria of Kachli is the same gematria as Chaim. So Yecheskel Kachli is Yosef Chaim. And there's a long, if you have a few hours, you can read through the introduction there to the new Torah Lishma. Anyway, it's a fascinating sefer. So they say the reason why he called it Torah Lishma is because he got so much cover from all his forum, he wanted to bring out one sefer anonymously so that it would be Torah Lishma. That's what they say. So then, Siman Tov Zion, he discusses precisely this question. Someone wants to test his employee's honesty, and he says one case like us, that the shoyel over there has all these elaborate cases of testing his employee. One of them is just simply like us, just dropping a £10 note, or I'm not sure they use in Baghdad, dropping a £10 note in the corner and making sure that it would look like it was just dropped there, and seeing another case, he's got all these elaborate cases. And the Ben Ish Chai, Rabbi Cheskel Kachli, Rabbi Yosef Chaim, he answers that no, it is definitely Asa. It's a proper Issa of Lifnei Iver, and it would be prohibited. So then the Ben Ish Chai has an interesting idea. He says, you might think, I've got a good Eitzah for you. I've got a good Eitzah for you. After you put the money down, you declare the money Hefka. You say the money should be Hefka. And therefore, when the person actually takes it, there's no Gezel. The money's ownerless. And there's no problem of taking the money. That would seem to be, says the Ben Ish Chai, a simple idea. Just declare the money Hefka. And therefore, if the person takes it, there'll be no problem. Says the Ben Ish Chai, no, it's not so quick. There's a problem. There's a famous Gemara in Nozim Daf Chof Gimel, I think it's last week's Daf. The Gemara says on the pasuk in Parshas Matos that Isha HaFeirom, a husband has got a koyach to annul his wife's nedarim, and so he's got a koyach to be mate her neder. V'Hashem yislach lo, Hashem will forgive her. So says the Gemara, why does she need forgiveness if her husband was made for the neder? What does it mean? Isha HaFeirom v'Hashem yislach lo. What's the continuation? How does one follow the other? If he was made for the neder, then there's no issa. What's the problem? She can drink the wine or eat the meat, wherever it is, wherever she made the neder from. Says the Gemara, what we're talking about? We're talking about a lady who she made a neder, let's say, not to drink wine. Then her husband heard about that she made the neder, and he was made for the neder. She did not know that he was made for the neder, and she went and drank the wine. So she thought she was doing it issa, but she wasn't really. She didn't know that her husband has been made for the neder. So says the Gemara, that the pasuk says, "V'Hashem yislach lo." She needs a kapara, and she has to tshuva, and Hashem will be moichel her if she does tshuva. And Mekan Bocha, Rabbi Kiva cried when he worked out this pasuk. He said, "This is someone who's niskaven lechel basar chazir." This is how he brought out the example. Someone who thought he was eating basar chazir, and he thought he was being over Issa when he ate the chazir, but it only came up basar teleh, and nevertheless he needs a kapara. Al achas kam v'kama, someone who is kavan lechol basar chazir, va'oli basar chazir, he definitely needs a kapara. It's interesting what his kavan chomer was. Okay, that's not for now. But says the Ben Ish Chai, we see from this Gemara that someone who is kavan lechol basar chazir, he intends, he takes a piece of meat, he thinks it's basar chazir, and he eats it, and really it was basar teleh, even though he's not over proper issa, he won't get malchus, he hasn't actually done a ma'aseh issa, but he needs a kapara. there's something he's done wrong. It's a merida against a Kodesh Baruch Hu. He did something which he thought was an avera. It's a problem. So therefore, it says the Ben Shchai, it's not so simple to put your money out and to test your worker, and you're going to make it hefka, and you think, oh, that's a good eitza, no problem with never. They haven't been over anything, right? Because they're not really stealing. So he says, no, not so fast. They don't realize you made it hefka, otherwise they'll make the test, whether the test will be purposeless, right? So they don't realize you mafkir it. If so, they are niskaven lechol besar chazir. They think they're doing an act of stealing. That it's, in truth, they're not doing an act of stealing because you made it a hefka. But really, you're really a hefka, but they think they're doing an act of stealing. So they are niskaven lasos gzela, and they took hefka. That's a problem. They need a kapara. Hashem yislachlo. Sorry? We'll get there. Okay, at the moment we're discussing Yidden. The Ben Ishchai, very good, very good. You're asking whether it applies to a goy, we'll discuss it in a minute. But at the moment the Ben Ishchai is discussing a Yiddish worker. So he says, on even though it's this Niskavan Lecho Basar Chaziv, Olo B'yod Basar Teleh is not a proper Issa, but there still is Lifne Ivre to be Machshel someone in Niskavan Lecho Basar Chaziv, Olo B'yod Basar Teleh. So if you cause someone to eat, to do gezel, to think he's doing gezel, that's also a problem. And he brings a proof from a Gemara in Kiddushin Daf Lamed Beis Amud Aleph. A fascinating Gemara there. We can't go into all the details there. The Gemara says, Rav Huna wanted to test out his son Rabba. He wanted to test him out to see whether he would get angry, whether he would, we'll see exactly what he wanted to test him out. So he tore clothes in front of him. And basically he was, the Gemara is bringing a riot from here that people are concerned about their Yerusha, right? So he tore up the expensive clothes in front of his son, and he wanted to see if Rabba, his son, would become annoyed. So he tore these clothes in front of Rabba, his son. Let me see. I want to see if Rabba, my son, is going to get angry. That's what he did. Interesting. That was his test. So I was expecting Gemara, but Dilma Rosach. Maybe he will get angry. How can he do this test? His son might get angry. Rashi explains, he might say something disrespectful to his son, to his father, in his anger, and it'll be over on Kibbut Ava'im. Says the Gemara, Rav Huna was moichel his covered. He was moichel his Kibbut Ava'im is something which a father can be moichel, and therefore he was moichel him. Okay, so he's not over Lifne Iver. He wanted to test his son's anger. Why is there no Lifne Iver on the anger itself? Very good question. We have time for that. There's actually a different shuvah in the from the Ben Yishchai and Torah Shema. Is there Lifne Iver in getting someone else angry? It's actually quite negia sometimes, but yes. But that's a different shuvah. But I don't think we have time for that now. So So the Gemara said again, Rav Huna did this test of ripping up the clothes in front of his son, Rabbi, his son. He wants to see if he'll get angry. Says the Gemara, maybe he'll say something disrespectful to his father. He was moichel his covered. Says Tosfos, a very important Tosfos. Rav Huna was moichel his covered. You have to say that he informed him before. He informed Rabbi previously, some time ago, that he just know I'm moichel on my covered on Kibbut Ava'im. In order, it shouldn't be when discover lechol basar chazir va'ol abiyod basar teleh. Tosa says it has to be that Rav Huna informed Rabba, his son, that he'd be moichel his covered, because otherwise Rabba, there'll still be a problem with Ne'iver, because Rabba, if he doesn't know that his father had been moichel his covered, if he said something disrespectful to his father, he would have been over on discover lechol basar chazir va'ol abiyod basar teleh. But even though his father had been mochel, it's covered. If he didn't know about it and said something disrespectful to his father, as far as he knows, he's being over Issa. Therefore, there would be a problem. Says Ben Ishchai, you see from this Tosfos that from the fact that Rav Huna had to inform Rabba that he was mochel him, it's not good enough to actually just mochel him without telling him. You actually have to inform the other person that you're mochel him. So you see there's Lifnei Iver, not only on Issa itself, but even on the Skam Alech Basar Chazir V'Ole B'Ode Basar Tilek. And therefore, says Ben Ishchai, he's got no Eitzah. to be mafke this money for your worker, there would be a problem. It would be a problem because the worker, since he's not aware of the fact that it's mutter, he thinks he's being over issa. You're not allowed to cause someone to do something which, even though itself is not really an issa, but he thinks he's doing issa, it's also to cause him to do it. Actually, there are a few other applications in halacha to this Tosfos. It's not only the Ben Ish Chai who found this mitzia. The Chofetz Chaim in Hilchos Lashon Hara discusses a case where you're asking information, right? You're allowed to ask, and the other person is allowed to answer. You're making a shidduch. You ask the other fellow for information. The other fellow is allowed to answer l'to'eles. Says the Chofetz Chaim, you have to be careful to inform the person you're asking. That is l'te'eles, right? So let's say you're asking him, please tell me, I don't know, what's this boy's midas like? Is he a bal midas? And the other guy says, no, he's terrible, right? So for you, you're allowed to ask because you're asking l'te'eles. If the person you're asking doesn't know that you're asking l'te'eles, as far as he's concerned, he's saying lashon hara, right? As far as he knows, he's being over issa. So it could be that in reality he hasn't been over a proper issa lashon hara, but he doesn't know that. He thinks he's discovered to say lashon hara, even though he might not have. Says the Chofetz Chaim, and it brings this tosis also, Kedushin HaFlam at base, that causing someone to do something which he thinks is an issa is also a problem. The Chofetz Chaim has other problems. It could be that at l'te'eles, you have the whole heta of l'te'eles, you have to know you're doing it l'te'eles. So it could be if the person giving you the information, his intention is he doesn't know he's doing l'te'eles. It could be it's a gomra of lashon hara. Okay, that's a sofik of the Chofetz Chaim. But even al atzad, that it's not a real lashon hara. He only thinks he's saying lashon hara. But it would also be a problem that you, by you asking him, you've done a lifnei iver, you've caused him to think he's saying lashon hara. Another example, Shlomo Zalman Oibach, he paskins if you have someone collecting stocker. And you know that he doesn't need the money. He's a swindler, and you just haven't got the cop to start dealing with him. You just give him a voucher, and off he goes. Says Rav Zalman, that's a big problem, because as the even though you know what you're doing, and this collector has not been over on an issa, a gezel, right? But he doesn't know that. He thinks he thinks he's bringing it's a gezel. So again, you have caused, there is a lifne iver to give this fellow money. Because, since he thinks he's doing it issa, again, you're not allowed to do something to cause, you're not allowed to make someone do something if he thinks it's assa, even though it's not really assa. Another example was, I'm sure you all know Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein's shilas and all his brilliant stories, so I thought he must have something on this. So I checked on the Otah Chochman. He's got a story to delivers every time. So Yitzchak Zilberstein's got a story like this. He says there was a refuse collection strike in some city in Eretz Yisrael, and it was piling up. I don't know if you've ever been there in a garbage strike, but it gets quite bad. Anyway, this fellow had enough. His black bags were piling up, and he didn't know what to do. So he decided. He came up with an ingenious idea. He just got a new fridge, and he still had the box for the fridge, and it had all the fancy labels on the outside. So he packed up this box with all his black bags, with all his rubbish in this big box. He schlepped it across the road. He was living in a part of town which wasn't the highest class part of town, and he knew he leaves this box outside his door for an hour, and it looks like it's a new fridge. It'll be gone, but it'll be gone soon. And Kachava, so it was an ingenious idea. Kachava, he waited. He slept over there. Within a few hours, it was gone. Anyway, he's very pleased with himself. But then afterwards, so he asked Yitzchak Zilberstein if it's okay. He said no. He said it's a big problem what you've done. He says you're very happy that you got rid of your rubbish, but the other person who slept that box away, he as far as he's concerned, he is stealing, right? So he's not really being over as a gezel because you're very happy that he's taken it. But he thinks he's doing gezel. Right, sorry? Yeah, yes, that's what we said. So even if you're mafkarit, but he is niskaven to do gezel. And someone who is niskaven lechel basar chazir, va'ola biyodo basar tleh. He was niskaven to take a fridge, va'ola biyodo this garbage. And therefore, he needs a kapara, Hashem yislachlo. And we said to him, Tosfos, that there's lifnei ivra. You're not allowed to machshel someone in Hashem yislachlo. Fascinating. Okay, so this seems to be definitely awesome. But again, till now we're speaking about a Yiddish worker, a Jewish person, to be machshel him in Niskaven Lechel Basar Chazir is a problem. What about by a non-Jewish worker? Is there a problem to make, again, if you forgot to be mafkir it, if you weren't mafkir the money, the michshal, big problem, right? But if you're mafkir it, where we said there's no real gezel, it's only lifnei ivra on niskaven lechel basar chazir v'olei basar basar tleh, does that apply to a goy? So they asked Rabbi Yashiv, and they asked Rabbi Yashiv this shaila, and Rabbi Yashiv is brilliant. His rayas are just like, he had a gemara in Shabbos, historia in the gemara in Shabbos, daf kuf, tezayin amud aleph. The story as follows. Hahu philosopher. There was this philosopher. Yeah, it's not. Rashi here says it was a mean. It was a apikoros, or it means it was a goy, but it was a chacham. One of the chachamim of the goyim. B'shevivusa, he was in the neighborhood of Rabbi Gamliel. Yes. Oh, sorry. I read it wrong. Ima shalom dvisod Rabbi Elazar after Rabbi Gamliel haboy. Ima Shalom, it was the name of Rabbi Gamliel's sister. She was called Ima Shalom. She was Rabbi Gamliel's sister, and she was the husband of Rabbi Eliezer. And there was this philosopher, this non-Jewish chacham in their neighborhood, who he was a judge, and he presented himself to the Mekabel Shuchta. I don't take any bribes. But everyone knew that he would take bribes quite easily. So Rabbi Gamliel and his sister wanted to expose him for what he was, that he would take a shoychad quite easily. So they came to him with a din Torah, or not, whatever you call it, with a court case. And so they had a court case about their Yerusha. Ima Shalom was complaining, why don't I get any Yerusha? I know I'm the daughter, but Gamliel's my brother, and the Torah says that only the brothers get, I want to get Yerusha as well. But before they started the court case, she gave him a golden lamp. So at the court case, he paskened for her. He said, yes, of course you get half of Yerusha. It said in the Torah, but the Torah doesn't apply anymore. That's the whole gemara. The next day, Rabbi Gamliel brought him a chamor luva, some type of very fancy chamor, and the judge reconvened the case, and he said, I'm Chayza, and the halacha is Rabbi Gamliel. And afterwards, so Gamliel said to his sister at the court case, my donkey came and kicked over your golden lamp, and that's how they exposed him. Says Rabbi Yashiv, it's true that shoychad, a non-Jewish judge also has an issur to take a shoychad, right? It's part of dinim. It's part of the halachas of Shemus ben Noach is dinim. The Ramban in Parshas Vayishlach says clearly that a non-Jewish judge is not allowed to take a shoychad. So if so, how it's true that this whole thing was just made up. Ima Shalom and Rabbi Gamliel had made this all up. But as far as this non-Jewish judge was concerned, he was doing a proper issue. He was taking a bribe. So how could they? So again, even though he wasn't really over Issa Shoychad, but as far as he knew, he was taking a bribe because he thought it was a genuine case. So how would they be allowed to give him this Shoychad? So it says, Rinashi, we see over here that there's no problem by a goy of being machshel him in something which is not really asa, but he only thinks is asa. And so the reason is because the whole thing of Iskam Alechem Basar Chazir Ve'olei Be'odah Basar Teleh is the postings of Hashem Yislachah, which we said at the beginning, only applies to a Yid. By a goy, it's true, doesn't have this chiddush, that if he does something, if he thinks he's doing something wrong, and he didn't really do something wrong, it would be a problem. And they asked Rav Chaim Kievsky also, is there any makor that a goy has niskaven lechol basar chazir ve'olei be'odah basar teleh? And he says lo motzino. We don't find anywhere. Okay, just to add on to this another case of this giving a bribe to a shofet. It's another fascinating question, which is also negiah to us. about giving a bribe to a non-Jewish judge. We're not talking about nowadays, we're talking about historically. The early Poskim grapple with this problem. It seems to be quite a normal thing to give a bribe, in those days, to have given a bribe to a non-Jewish judge. The Tumim in Siman Tes and Choshe Mishpot, he raises the question, how could you give a non-Jewish judge is also mitzvah in Dinim, and by you giving him a sheichad, you're being over lifnei iver, because lifnei iver to make a goy being over iver issa. We're talking about a genuine sheichad over here, we're not talking about a made-up one. And he says, kvar nagush heta mishonim kadmonios. It seems to have been nagu heta from many years that you give a sheichad to a shofet, to a goy shofet. How can you do that? It's actually a tshuva in the Chavos Yoy, early tshuva 350 years ago, where he says that his brother-in-law, Reb Itzik, the Avbeisen of Mannheim, he used to have discussions with a local duke. He says, Duke Karl Ludwig, Zichrone Levracha, Hamuflug B'chochma, he was a local duke. And he used to have discussions with Reb Itzik, the Avbeisen of Mannheim, the Chavos Yoy's brother-in-law. And he said, the duke asked him, how is it that I'm in charge of the judicial system over here, and I know that all you Jews, you often give bribes to the judge. How can you do that? So so he answered him. He said, listen, I'm not saying it's right. It's definitely wrong. But I'll give you a limud schus, that there's so much anti-Semitism going on over here, and the judges here are so favor the non-Jewish side that the Jew who's giving the sheichad is not doing it to sway the judge in favor of him more on the other side. It's just to equal them to the non-Jewish side. That's what he said. Just to as a limud schus, he told the duke just to explain why the Jews do it. But in Shuvas Chacham Sofer Chelik Vav Simen Yudalid, he also discusses the problem, and there he actually says it as a heta halacha lemaisa. He says Chas v'Shalom, you're not allowed to give a sheichad to a judge if he's going to paskin wrong to a non-Jewish judge. That would be a proper issa lifnei iver to cause a judge to take a sheichad. But where the judge is favoring the non-Jewish side, you would be allowed to give a sheichad to sway him to go back to treat you equally. Okay, just interesting. Just to end off, if you want to know what actually happened with my cleaner, then I actually wasn't mafkin the money, right? So again, just to summarize. To give to a Jewish worker would be asa even if you make it hefka, right? To a non-Jewish worker would be if you make it hefka, then chora it's muta. I must say with my cleaner, I never even thought of the question, and I never mafkir it. So you come to another shaila, if you put a michshol in front of someone and didn't actually take it, are you over lifnei iver? Is the lifnei iver putting the stumbling block there, or is lifnei iver making them actually fall over? Which actually also machlokes in the poskim, and okay, that's enough for now. Okay, that's it.
I'm going to go to the hospital.